talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. You're with Natalie Cheel and Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you better believe it. It's Thursday, the 7th of March, 2024. This is TNT, today's News Talk. This is the Open Line Show with Natalie Cheel, me, Gemma Cooper, and Chloe Dobbs, and Charlie Sansom, and you, if you want it to happen. The power is yours. At the last 20 minutes of the show or there and thereabouts, the lines will be open. You can give us a call. And apologies yesterday to poor old Jeanette from Queensland who called in and we couldn't connect her at the time and we told her to call back at the top of the hour and then other stuff was happening. So Jeanette, if you're listening and you've still got a point to make, please feel free to lift up that phone and give us a call. So yes, plenty to talk about this morning. And without any further ado, let's jump straight into it. Natalie, we were talking earlier on this week about Jaguar's aspirations to get rid of all their petrol supercharged cars, their fancy diesels, and move exclusively to SUVs. And we did say there is a record of this in history of us saying we thought that was a catastrophic move. Well, since that little prediction of ours, a story's only gone and come out about an out-of-control Jaguar SUV rammed off the road by the police because it wouldn't stop. The brakes failed on it and almost caused an absolute massive incident. Could this be real, or are the Daily Mail just responding to our predictions to help to bring it all to pass in some weird conspiratorial twist?
I don't know. Do you think Daily Mail just listen to us every day and think, Rick and Nat have said that. We're going to put it in tomorrow. So it says, police were forced to ram an out-of-control electric car after a horrifying fault left the eco-vehicle tearing down the busy M62 without any brakes. Cop cars swarmed the motorway to save a driver after the running wire 80,000-pound Jaguar I-Pace suffered an electric fault. And it also says it's going to be discontinued now after the company's relaunch in 2025. The car was reportedly only sold to make the company meet its emissions targets. The model has also been used as a rapid response vehicle for West Midlands Ambulance Service, and they have now said they won't be using that anymore. So there you go.
I wonder why. You know, it's very important. Let's make things very clear here. If you're an ambulance, it's very important that you can rapidly respond to any major incident. Yes, it's very important. And it's also very important that you can get to the hospital as fast as possible. But what's most important of all is when you get to the hospital at high speed, you can actually stop the ambulance rather than driving straight through the accident and emergency department.
So causing more accidents.
Yeah, and causing more accidents. So rapid response is fantastic. Getting your patients to hospital is wonderful, but you have to be able to stop the ambulance when you get there. And unfortunately, question marks now over this soon-to-be discontinued Jaguar vehicle. They report with their two rapid response vehicles, we've done 160,000 miles and there's been no incidents yet. Yet being the key word. And I would say if you were a driver, if you were handed the keys of that rapid response Jag after this incident on the M62, you might be saying, can we have the old one back and that old knackered NHS diesel ambulance? Because at least when we put our foot on the brake, the thing stopped. We didn't have to get rammed off the road by the bobbies. What do you think?
Important to say as well, last year, a terrified electric car driver revealed he was kidnapped as well by his runaway 30,000 pound MG ZS EV. So it has happened before, not by a Jag. We've heard about the electric vehicles, the batteries going on fire. But this is a new one to worry about. If anybody's got an EV out there, maybe your brakes will start working. Not to worry you or anything. No doom and gloom. But, you know, you never know. Try on the brakes. You might not stop today.
Imagine the panic. I mean, it's bad. I don't know if you've ever drove your car whenever something has happened. Like I've drove the car on the motorway before and the alternator has failed and your power stops, your power steering locks up and you panic. You think, well, what if somebody rear end? What if I get smashed into by an SUV? How am I going to get onto the hard shoulder? Am I going to cause an accident? It causes a lot of stress, but not actually being able to stop your car must be absolutely terrifying, Natalie, especially when you're on a motorway and you're thinking, well, what if this thing then speeds up or the steering decides to take control of itself. So it's another thing to add to the potential drawbacks of owning these SUVs. And of course, a story like this, when the Feel are pushing this story, there's going to be a lot of people reading it who are humming and hawing after hearing about the insurance costs, after hearing about the depreciation, the dealers can't give these cars away, Musk's offering discounts on them. Now they don't stop or they take on a life of their own.
Remember that this is supposed to be a prestige car brand, you know, that are going all electric vehicle. And then, the week they're announcing it, this happens. Bad luck, you might say, or maybe karma. Who knows?
Exactly. And you know what it could do? It could drive the residual values of that little car of yours up, up, up. Soon, your car could be worth more than a prestige SUV. It doesn't matter what state it's in. At least it stops, Natalie, when you put your foot in the brake. That's more important than the state of the vehicle. But anyway, think about that, people. Hang on to those petrol and diesel cars for grim death, because when they're gone, if they get rid of them, they ain't going to be bringing them back, and you'll be stuck with an SUV, electric hybrid thing that the cops will have to run off the road. But we've got to take a brief pause, bring Jem in and see what she has to throw into the mix here this morning, live, uncensored, unscripted, and all that jazz here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, Gemma, you know, you've been listening into our little breakdown of this incident. I'm not sure if you're a big petrol head or you like to take public transport or just simply walk, but you know, you've been watching and listening and reporting on all this business as well. Is it another nail in the coffin of the SUVs, as predicted here on TNT for many a month now?
Well, you'd like to hope so. I love my little Fiat 500. You know, I think it's the loveliest car I've ever had. It's all compact and nice and made for girls, and it's petrol. And I'm going to hold on to it as long as I possibly can. It even has, quel horreur, a CD player. It's not Bluetooth. It's not smart. I will hold on to that car.
So does mine.
Yeah, exactly. I love it, you know. Exactly. Old school. You would hope that stories like this, Rick, would be the death knell for SUVs and electric cars generally. But I remember covering that story last year of the man whose car went out of control, electric vehicle. It wasn't long after I'd started at TNT. And the end result was that the police had to position their big, massive van in front of it so he could crash into it. And the police van was a write-off. And he was thinking he was going to die because the car just would not stop on a domestic road, 30 mile an hour, or possibly 20 mile an hour limit. And the car was going well beyond that and wasn't stopping. Eventually had to get his wife to call the police, and that's how that one ended. But the guy, he said, oh, he was, you know, he was upset and he was scared and he was panicked. He went out and bought another electric vehicle. So, you know what I mean?
It's almost going for your second and third and fourth and fifth jab. You know, even if you have an adverse reaction after the first one, some people, they just don't get the message. They don't get the message. So anyway, it's down to the individual, buyer beware and all that. But if you're happy to go back maybe to a vehicle that didn't stop for you when you put your foot in the brake, you know, I'm not going to say you deserve what you get, because I don't wish any ill will on anybody, but there's some dumbasses out there. And the old saying goes, there is no cure for stupid. There's no cure for stupid. So maybe it's natural selection working its way through, getting rid of these people out of the gene pool. But anyway, let's move on from that one to a story about probation, shenanigans and skullduggery, handling of a quadruple murderer. What's going on with this?
Well, this is a significant story because the chief inspector of the probation service said that this story highlights exactly what's going on within the whole probation system. Unfortunately, it's not one isolated case. It's a horrible story. A drug dealer called Joshua Jacques, 29 years old, he was sentenced last week to 46 years minimum in prison. So he's never coming out for the murder of his girlfriend, his girlfriend's mother, his girlfriend's grandmother, and the partner of the grandmother back in April 2022. It turns out he did the murders, horrible, horrific murders. Well, what murder isn't? He was 5 months after being released from prison on drug-related offences, possession of Class B and supply of Class A. So he'd been released on probation, and the probation service, it's been revealed today, missed significant opportunities to put him back inside to deal with his mental health problems, which the judge said were brought on by his smoking very strong skunk cannabis, which he knew knew was affecting his mental health. When he committed the murders, he said that he killed all of four of them as a sacrifice, which leads kind of mental health professionals to suggest he wasn't quite with it, as it were. He was under delusions sparked by his drug use. But there were many chances the probation service had to spot that. His mental health went downhill. He told his mental health team in 2022, when he committed the crimes, that his mental health was seriously declining. And the probation service knew he'd been sectioned in 2018 for his mental health issues. So he told them, he said, like, I'm not feeling right. I feel like my mental health is slipping. They did nothing. There were also other several significant events apart from his mental health, behavior with the neighbors becoming problematic. He had unpermitted use of social media was one of his probation conditions. He was breaking that. A new relationship, which wasn't going too well, all symptomatic of the fact that his case did deserve looking at again. But it's emerged that his probation officer had only finished their training 3 months previous, was incredibly new to the job, and was handed this very, very challenging case, which led to four people then being murdered in quite a horrific way. So the chief inspector of the probation service has unfortunately said this is symptomatic of the failings within the service as a whole. There's been a comprehensive root and branch review as a result of this case. As I say, he was sentenced last week for the murders. It's 46 years minimum. He's never coming out. But these murders should never have happened. And there have been apologies to the family. I think there is issues of compensation there too. So the probation service, as with other public services in the UK, is paid for by the taxpayer. This is a very significant case. Whether the reviews, the root and branch review into the service is enough, I would imagine this isn't the only failing, but this is a very serious failing which has come to light. And obviously the probation service couldn't really sit on their hands with this. They had to launch a review straight away. But this is where we are. It's broken Britain. It's our system. How many other people who've newly released from prison maybe shouldn't be and aren't being monitored properly by their probation officers?
Yeah, Natalie, we all can make mistakes in life. We all make mistakes in our jobs. You know, that's part of working. But there's some jobs you simply shouldn't be able to get away with making mistakes in. Yesterday, we covered a teaching hospital that amputated six limbs in the space of, 3 years? And that was just one hospital in particular by accident. They said it was a so-called never event. I suppose the probation services would push this, Gemma and Natalie, as a so-called, it's a never event. It doesn't really happen very much. But the fact of the matter is, I can recall many a story over the last year of people that have they've fluffed up the probation on, they've got out and they've went on to kill people, or they've been released early when they shouldn't have been and they went on to murder.
I mean, it's a hard job anyway. If you think about it, people are always going to put on a mask. You know, even if their mental health is bad, you come out, you're going to pretend you're doing great, aren't you? So, you know, if it's in an underfunded service, you've got so many people to see, somebody's pretending in front of you, it's very easy to go, oh, they look fine. You haven't even got the time, the money to do a proper investigation. I mean, when Gemma said apologies to the family, I mean, talk about understatement of the year. The majority of the family were killed. I mean, no apology can ever be any consolation there whatsoever. It's a classic case that we've got in all of the other authorities and everything, that there is just no money. And these people, I would imagine how stressful it is to do that job, probably knowing and signing people off that they're safe, when at the back of your mind you're thinking, I've not really had the chance to do a proper investigation, and are they really? You know, it must be absolutely horrendous for the staff to work in those conditions, and then obviously it leads to these tragic incidents, Rick. Mm.
And plus, there's a lot of new blood coming into the system as well in terms of the workforce, which of course you need, but I would say that ongoing supervision is essential, especially in jobs like that where you have to be involved in decision making like that you can't have some rookie coming straight out of a graduation and going straight into full authorization. Maybe the probationary period or the shadowing period should be extended for jobs like this, because obviously mistakes can happen with senior members of staff, but also I would say if you don't know the job and you don't know the ropes very well, or as you said, Natalie, people are trying to manipulate you at every opportunity. You know, maybe you're young and you're feeling a little bit green and you don't want to, offend anybody. So you go ahead with stuff and get stuff done, but this can be the tragic outcome of it. So we've got to call time in this one as per now, but many thanks, of course, Jim, for the input and the story this morning. It's always appreciated. And we'll talk again in the next hour. We've got better move along, take a little break, and welcome Chloe Dobbs to TNT Radio for the first time. So please stay tuned and don't go away. We will be right back.
TNT's Darren Denslow.
The behavior of the West and NATO in Ukraine. There are rumors that there are plans to send NATO troops along the border of Belarus with Ukraine. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. If NATO troops are officially sanctioned and enter Ukraine, that will also almost certainly be in a visible way, in an optical way for the public, the beginning of the Third World War. This comes from Cernovich. World War III has already begun. British troops are directing airstrikes in Ukraine. Germany intends to bomb Crimea. This comes on a leaked and intercepted conversation by German officials who were discussing aid, discussing troop movements, and discussing their plans or their support of plans to attack Crimea. Again, this is another red line. This is almost in terms of what Putin has said. We'll skip the World War III part. You attack Crimea. We just go to the nuclear part that comes at the end of any potential Third World War.
Digging deeper with D.D. Denslow on today's News Talk TNT.
This is generally the view of people. Oh, we don't know much about Assange. Well, you should know, because whether you know it or not, he is fighting for you.
For your courage and leadership and tenacity in journalism and publishing.
Since 2010, Assange has been held in progressively narrower, darker, colder, and crueler spaces.
He has been detained since the 7th of December 2010 in one form or another.
And we are now here after years of imprisonment.
WikiLeaks is a non-state hostile intelligence service.
I think the man is a high-tech terrorist.
A high-tech terrorist.
A traitor, a treasonous.
He has to answer for what he has done.
Assange faces up to 175 years in prison for publishing classified documents exposing U.S. war crimes.
The U.S. government narrative about Julian is a complete fraud. It is a complete fraud from A to Z.
Julian took on the most powerful countries in the world, basically all of them.
We now have confirmed that there were plans to kidnap Julian here in the center of London, or even assassinate him.
No one who instigated that illegal and immoral war has been brought to justice. But the great truth teller sits behind bars.
If wars can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth.
Julian Assange is a hero.
What if everything we thought we knew about somebody was a lie? Would we be willing to go on a new journey of understanding? This is a story of deception, lies, bravery, and a man who risked everything to bring the truth to light.
Mr. Assange shows all the symptoms that are typical for a person that has been exposed to psychological torture over a prolonged period of time.
He looked at me intensely and said, "I hate to say this." He then hesitated, visibly troubled and searching for words. And then he finally said, "Please, save my life."
May future generations have the ability to speak without restraint. May our children and their children know truth and have access to information that leads to justice. Wherever Julian goes, free speech goes with him.
If there is a bird that is about to take flight, stretch her wings and rule the skies. May it be a peace dove and no longer a bald eagle.
If you think Assange is a traitor, he's a rapist, he's a narcissist, he's a hacker, I don't blame you because you have been deceived. And if you think you've not been deceived, that's normal because otherwise it wouldn't be deception.
A hoax about carbon dioxide in the climate has caused a global energy and economic disaster. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, you better believe it. It's Thursday, the 7th of March, 2024. This is Open Line. This is TNT. We're live on Censored Unscripted and all that business. And we're very happy to be joined for the first time this morning on TNT. I believe she's making her debut by the one and only Chloe Dobbs. She is a political commentator and also a contributor to Reasoned UK. And you can find her on the X or Instagram platforms or Twitter platforms at Dobbs, D-O-B-B-S, and Policy. Welcome, Chloe. How are you doing this beautiful, wonderful, amazing, epic Thursday morning?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. We've got a time together now. We're going to talk about, I suppose, a little bit of fallout from yesterday's budget, trying to keep things nice and relevant and up to date. So old Jeremy Hunt was wheeling out the red briefcase yesterday, and out from that red briefcase popped a contribution that's going to be made. Police chiefs are saying that a £230 million boost for drones for first responders to accidents and emergencies is falling short of the amount that's needed. Amnesty International warns safeguards about usage are needed as well. We talked at the start of the show about electric vehicles having to be rammed off the road by police cars because they lost control. Now, the cops and the ambulance service want to use robots and drones as first responders to accidents and emergencies. What could possibly go wrong, eh?
Plenty could go wrong. It seems a little bit bonkers and perhaps a little bit 1984, having these drones flying around, spying on us potentially. But to be honest, I actually think that it is worth giving it a go. We're not talking billions. We're talking 230 million. I know to most of us, it would be lovely to have 230 million, but in the grand scheme of things for the public purse, that's not huge. I think that it's worth it because we just have horrendous productivity problems in both our public sector and our private sector. And I think that from my experience, whenever I've had to call the police or listen to other people's stories about them calling the police, it seems quite random whether the police turn up or not. You'll have something completely unimportant and the police are there in 2 seconds. And then on the other hand, there's something really serious and the police just don't bother to turn up and you wait for hours and hours on end. So I think the idea of these drones is that they'll send the drones out to try and assess how serious the situation is, as opposed to replace the police presence. They're sending them out to just collect information and put that into their priority order. Now, it could be the case that they start, this actually slows down the process of getting police out. If you've got to send the drone first, get a bunch of information and get people to look at it. So this might not work. I'm skeptical, but I'm willing to give it a go. I have had times where I've called the police and I really need them to turn up and they just say, oh, we'll give you a call back. Maybe you just have no idea. You have no idea what's happening. If you're in any kind of emergency here, you just cannot rely on the police to turn up. Same goes for the ambulance service, where I think the average time if you're having a heart attack is 45 minutes for the ambulance to turn up. It hit sort of 90 minutes at a peak, I think, one or two winters ago in some constituencies. I mean, I'm just glad that I'm young right now. And I'm glad that I live in a fairly safe area. So I'm not reliant that much on these services. But there are other people who are more reliant. And you never know with the police, you never know when you're going to need it, right? So I would like to live in a country where I know that the police are going to turn up and that if I have a case that should be high priority, that they're going to be there. So if sending a drone out quickly to see, oh yes, Chloe's case is serious, we need to get there quickly, actually makes the system more efficient, then great. But I'm skeptical. Let's give it a go and let's see. I think that what you mentioned about Amnesty International bringing up that we need to have some safeguards on this, I think is a good idea because I think people will worry that maybe we end up with, as I said, some sort of 1984 situation where we've got all these drones spying on us and they use them for more than they should.
You make some great points there. I like your attitude. I like, let's try it. Let's give it a go. Let's see. I'm just wondering, has there actually been any pilot exercises done in this that didn't involve the expenditure of £250 million? But they're going to do this whether we like it or not. So maybe, yeah, let's give it a go and see. But you also made a great point as you were talking. I was thinking, it's to do with this. They want to send a drone out to assess how bad it is. Then I'm imagining then they have to make a decision on that before they decide whether or not to dispatch the police or the ambulance or the fire brigade or not. And as we all know, and you mentioned heart attacks there, every minute counts when you're being critically injured, maybe in a car smasher. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be waiting on some dude with a remote control sitting on a sofa, you know, flying a little drone out over my accident and then the police deciding what to do on it and then coming back on it. So yeah, it has its pros and cons. If it works, great, Natalie, but if it doesn't, it could cost lives.
I mean, I really like what Chloe said. I think that it will work in cases where maybe it's difficult to get to. If they really were only using the drones as an advantage to the police service, you know, like if there's a traffic accident and it's really hard to get to and they send a drone ahead to assess the situation. My fear, though, Chloe, is that they're using this test and using the money, the 230 million, to then say, oh, it works, we can get rid of more police officers and we'll replace them with more drones instead. And I think there is a possibility that that could happen in the future too. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that there is a risk of that. The government is always looking to try and make cuts where they can when the public purse is always so tight. So there is a risk of that there. I think that if they tried to do that, I don't think there would be the appetite for it. I think there would be a lot of pushback if people felt, if this is rolled out and people clearly see they're using these drones to replace police officers as opposed to get the police to you quicker. They've sold this as they'll get the police to you quicker. So I hope that that is what happens. And if it doesn't happen, that people will push back and hold the government to account on it. One other thing I will say is that part of this money is not, it's not all just going towards the drones. Part of this budget is towards making it easier for people to report crimes via video call or show them what's going on via video call, which to me seems like a no-brainer. I've been on the phone many times to police or ambulance or whoever, and you're trying to explain to them, oh yeah, the criminal, they're wearing a green jumper and they've got this color hair. What if I can just show them? It's so much easier. And especially also, police aside, I don't know if they're planning to roll this out for the ambulance service as well, but I think that that would make sense as well, because often if you need to, as an individual, if someone's in a critical situation, you need to do something whilst you wait for the ambulance to arrive and they're guiding you on the telephone. If you can video call them, that's much, much easier. So often you've got to be talked through CPR if you don't know how to do it on the phone. If someone can be there holding a video call, that's even better. So I think both for the police and the ambulance service, it would just make much more sense.
Yeah, tech, when it's used right, can be absolutely revolutionary and life-saving. But when it goes wrong, it can work in the opposite way. So it's really nice to get your views and opinions in this. And it's refreshing to hear younger voices as well giving input in this, because many, many times, you know, politicians are older and sometimes news presenters are older. And yesterday we had a great guy Charlie Downs as well, spoke a lot of sense. So it's nice as well to get a younger person's perspective on the way that they're seeing these budgetary outcomes coming in and how they see tech affecting their world. So we've got a call time in this one as per now, Chloe, because we'll have to go to a news break, but it was lovely to have you on, and please follow her on X and Instagram at Dobbs, D-O-B-B-S and policy. That's Chloe Dobbs. So yeah, have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully you won't have to make any more calls to the cops in the foreseeable future in that lovely little suburb that you're currently nestling in right now. So you have a good day and we'll stay in touch. All being well, we'll talk to you again sooner rather than later. That's Chloe Dobbs. Got to take a little news break, and when we come back at the other side, we're going to talk to Charlie Sansom about MSM moving on towards digital streaming type platforms. So don't go away. Stay tuned for more here on TNT Today's News Talk.
Check this out.
News Talk Radio.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. India's standing firm against the West, refusing to cut ties with Russia amid the war in Ukraine. Russia's top diplomat says the UN Security Council must be reformed to represent the global majority. A US federal court's refused to hold major tech companies liable for supporting child labour in Africa. And crime has become so bad in New York City's subway system, the National Guard has now been deployed to patrol the platform.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back. I had a cough last week. I'm now feeling like I'm losing my voice. So it's a race to the end of the show and the end of the week for me, but I'm still going. Welcome back, Charlie Sampson, TV and radio commentator, singer and DJ. You can follow him at Charlie Sampson on X. And he's here to be discussing Talk TV. It's been taken off our air after 2 years, and it's now going to be focusing on streaming. Now, the president of broadcasting there, this is a quote from him. He says, "It is obvious to all of us that for two years we would not have been brave enough to launch a channel without a linear presence. But audiences of all ages have moved fast, and smartphones are now our primary device where news is consumed. So we need to adapt this as a priority." What do you think, Charlie? Does that sound right to you? Everything moving to streaming, is that the way we need to go?
I think they're late to an already established trend. You know, Talk TV and GB News kind of come around at the time when on-demand streaming, especially when it comes to movies, was already prevalent. You know, the end of the cinema will be at the hands of Netflix, and I think that the end of news will be at the hands of YouTube, actually. I think there's already established characters on there that are already leading the way on news broadcasting, and they're just playing catch-up, which is quite embarrassing for them, really.
Yeah, and of course, there's been losses as well. You said about GB News. GB News announces cumulative losses of 75 million in 2.5 years. It obviously costs a lot more to have a production on a TV and put the programming out. So we do here, TNT 24/7 News. Rick, is that the way that they'll be going? And other people trying to follow suit?
It has to be. It has to be. You make a good point there, Charlie, about Netflix being the death of the cinema. I think Apple Music was also the death of the record store. You know, records were replaced by CDs, and then CDs, I remember when the first iPod came out, you know, the iPod Nano, iPod Shuffle. Then Spotify became available on mobile phones, which done away with the iPads. So the tech is always evolving. The desire is always there to consume the music, or to consume the movies, or to consume the news. But without a doubt, my friend, I think we're seeing a seismic shift at the minute away from mainstream media platforms. Fox News is dying a death. GB News, 75 million loss in 2 years, after 2 years worth of solid broadcasting. That's got to hurt as well. And also Talk TV, with all the money that's been thrown in behind that as well, and trying to lure in bigger names to get the people in. If that's not enough to make it work, then who can make it work?
It's a good question. I don't know who can make it work, but I think when you have certain presenters being paid extortionate amounts of money, I know why they're doing it. They want to, I mean, that's why GB News have Nigel Farage. It's why Talk TV have got Piers Morgan. They want these big names to bring the viewers in, but everyone's getting everything on demand now. You know, I don't watch the BBC. I don't watch Sky News. I don't watch, I mean, for my sins, even though I do appear on these two channels, I don't watch GB News and I don't watch Talk TV. If I do, it's online. And that's where it's at. But I think some people, some established names like Eamon Holmes and people of his ilk, like legendary broadcasters, might feel a little bit put out that they're now going to go from TV presenter to YouTube star, chasing clickbait. Yeah. And trying to balance that with credibility. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for these people, because YouTube, as much as you can make a lot of money on in the online space, how quickly will that materialize to pay for the millions of pounds that I'm assuming some of these presenters are on?
Yeah.
But it couldn't have happened to I was just going to say, it couldn't happen to a nicer person, Piers Morgan, having his departure from Talk TV. I'm sure there'll be quite a few people smiling about that one after a lot of his content over the last few years.
I think Piers Morgan's quite smart, actually, because I've noticed that he has been getting on more online celebrities, should we call them, on his regular TV show. And I think he's seen what's coming. I think he, as well as
and that's why
people,
he's departed.
Talk TV they've all known the writings on the wall for a little while. This isn't new news. I've known that Talk was going to flop for about 6 or 7 months now. So,
yeah,
yeah.
What were you going to say, Rick?
I would suppose the good thing, let's take a positive away from this in one respect, is that there's a lot of people out there who have fantastic insights, they have fantastic views and opinions, and they never went through the traditional journalistic schools and jumped through the hoops to get big gigs on big platforms. And now, I think over the last few years, Charlie and Natalie especially, we've seen the rise of some incredible, insightful internet narrators, talkers, personalities who simply have went straight to source. They've just recorded themselves. They've uploaded it onto a YouTube channel. The YouTube channel's exploded. They haven't had to jump through hoops. They've been able to keep it real and they've been able to keep it independent. And I think that's the best type of output out there, where you're free to speak your mind. And then, of course, people will vote with their thumbs. If they like you, they're going to keep clicking onto your content. And if they don't, you're going to die the death. But I think it's opened the door for a lot of fantastic talent out there to be able to come into the online media space and actually make a difference and actually impact a lot of people. So that's, I would say, one positive from this. What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree with you more. And it actually gives people to see the human element behind the news. Because when you watch the news, it's very robotic and very formulaic. And the channels typically have the same stories and have the same kind of debate structure, where they'll have a host and they'll have a couple of guests to kind of battle each other a little bit. And that becomes boring because they do it on every subsequent show throughout the day. But with, you know, independent news journalists coming to the fore, they bring personality with it. You know, they're not afraid to drop an F-bomb, which people, you know, may or may not like, but at least it's genuine. You know, they make mistakes, they stumble over their words, they know that it's not a completely polished outfit, which makes it seem more real. And I think that people gravitate more towards that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I was just going to say, it means that, which obviously the kind of mainstream media are scared about, it's easier then to question the narrative as well, isn't it? You know, they had so much control when it was only, you know, the main four stations. But when anybody can go online and give their opinion and can get very popular very quickly, it's worrying for those stations as well, isn't it?
Well, I do wonder how the Trusted News Initiative that I know all the big players have signed up to, I wonder how that will come into effect to the online space, because it may not be applicable there, which you may see if you're smart about it. And this is what I'd be thinking about doing if I was a big company not like News UK or GB News, is how do we buck that trend of all towing the same line, all talking about the same stories and, you know, giving certain variations of the same stuff.
I think also, Charlie, any platform that gives its viewers or its listeners an opportunity to interact with that output program. So, for example, here in TNT, we have a very vibrant live chat. We have open lines where people are free to communicate with us and say, look, we'd like to see Charlie Sansom on a little bit more. We really resonate with that guy. We take that sort of thing on board. And as much as we can, we try and not please our listeners, because we're doing our own thing anyway, but we do take views and opinions on board. You can't really do that with Sky News. You can't really do that with GB News. You could write an email if you want, but the chances are the average listener's not going to have a big impact on programming the same way as they would do on a smaller independent channel, for example, that's especially an up-and-coming one that wants to simply hit the right notes.
Because I'm sure that the people that run, say, for example, Sky News, the Twitter accounts, if they are going for, I bet no one reads the comments underneath a post, and I wouldn't advise they do, because every time a mainstream media outlet does post anything news-wise, they get slated for being propagandists, or they're not really telling the full story. So, you know, it's good that you've got interaction. I think you've made a good point there. I think that when people have a connection with the channel, the broadcast, the host, the people behind the scenes, they're investing in it. You know what I mean? There's some sort of trust being built there. You're never going to get that. The BBC aren't going to reply to you. The presenters aren't going to reply to you. The producers are probably going to slag you off behind closed doors. So, you know, it's not the same. The online space opens things up. It's great.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we've got to pause now, because we've got to actually stop and take a little ad break. But before we go, just want to say a big thanks to you for coming on here this morning, Charlie. And you have an X or a Twitter page that people can follow you at, Charlie Sansom, S-A-N-S-O-M. And also you can email or contact Charlie on his website, which is charliesansom.com. So please feel free to give him some support and check out Charlie's output as well. It's excellent. So thank you so much. Hope you have a great remainder of the day. Thanks, and we'll be back at the other side of the ads with some more conversation between Natalie and I, and also dipping into our own live chat just to see what people have been saying about the show so far this morning here, live and uncensored. TNT, today's news talk.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Well, what have we here? The usual suspects are making the usual excuses because, you see, there's a lot of cold weather around, even if it's getting a little bit warmer than what the average is. So there's a big article that's just come out today that says that global warming may be behind an increase in the frequency and intensity of cold spells. Now, let me just say something. The Earth's average temperature, no one really knows what it is. It's probably a little bit warmer than what it was, let's say 30, 40 years ago, maybe 0.3 to 0.4. Celsius warmer, but it's an average. All it means is that the warming is outdueling the cooling by 0.3 to 0.4. And since most of that is occurring in the coldest, driest areas during their winter season, guess what? There is going to be a fight back. As a matter of fact, this particular type of idea that global warming may be behind an increase in the frequency and intensity of cold spells actually proves our point. Something we talk about all the time, Le Chatelier's principle, that the atmosphere or anything tries to reestablish a new baseline, and it does it by countering it. So basically, global warming is responsible for cooling. But wait a minute, it's responsible for warming. Which is it? Now keep in mind, if the mechanism that's causing the warming suddenly gets pulled away, and if that mechanism is natural, look out, temperatures will drop like crazy. That's how the little ice age started. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog, meteorologist Joe Bastardi, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Hi, I'm Susan Lucci. I never thought about heart disease until I had my own heart event. I had a 90% blockage in my main artery and a 75% blockage in the adjacent artery. I received two stents in my arteries. Stents developed through research funded by the American Heart Association. Those stents saved my life. Learn more about the American Heart Association's life-saving work at helpheart.org.
The conversation continues with Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, indeed, the show is still ongoing here. And of course, it would be wrong after that pontification of mine about interacting with our listeners to completely ignore you beautiful people out there in the live chat. So that's where we're going right now. Big shout out to everyone that's tuned in at the minute. I'm just rattling off a few names. Mazzy, of course, is in there. She's a cornerstone of the live chat, her and Holly. Buzz, Hidden Truth, Chrisilla Lewis, also Mogden, of course, is in there. Annie H, just the bloke who asks questions. Phil is in there. Mark Delaney is in there. People are throwing their opinions in there, left, right, and center, and that's good. That's good. We welcome all opinions and thoughts and criticisms. We may not act on them, or we may not take them all on board, but we do welcome them, much the same as it's a two-way street. We hope you like what we're saying, but we don't expect you to agree with everything. Some great comments. Mogden says, we hope TNT don't employ Julia Hartley Brewer. I don't recruit anyone. I'm not responsible for personnel in TNT, but I would, if I was a betting man or woman, I would put money that Julia will not end up on TNT. I can't see it happening myself. So if you get any bookie action in that one, don't actually take it. Natalie, are you going to say something there?
I was just saying, nice to see Charlie Sampson's in there as well. After just talking to us, he's gone straight on to have a look at the online chat. So good on Charlie as well. So he's saying hello as well.
Yes, indeed, Charlie. So that's good. People saying Neil Oliver would be excellent. People offering suggestions here about who should or shouldn't be on the show. Listen, who knows? Anything's possible these days. And, you know, people come, people go, anything can happen. That's the crazy world of live radio, and it's also the crazy world of TNT. So you never know. Everything is taken on board. And if things line up and happen, then they happen. And if they're not meant to be, then they don't happen. That's just, I suppose, a reflection of life, isn't it, Natalie? We've all got ideas and plans, and some of them come to pass and are great. And some of them come to pass and are disastrous. Some of them just don't come to pass at all.
So somehow I'm still here. I did check when my year anniversary is. It's next Wednesday. So March the 15th. Somehow I've stayed a year on the Open Line show. I don't know how quite you've listened to me and managed it. But there you go. So exactly. Miracles do happen.
I have this reputation that the office that I used to work on, if anyone sat beside me in my quad, it was a given that they were gone within 6 months. That was the longest someone ever lasted working with me was 6 months. All right. The shortest.
So I made a record.
You have obliterated all records.
Wow.
Before that, the longest was 2 months. Someone working with me on TNT, 2 months, 8 weeks was the record before you came along. So don't gloat too much just yet. You haven't reached the 13th or 15th of March just yet. So when you get there, then you can pop the cork of the old champagne bottle. But Natalie, I hate to tell you this, but a lot can happen between now and your anniversary. So just, just stay on your guard and don't take nothing for granted. Or even I could be gone. You could have a new host. Imagine that. Rick will be axed by your first anniversary. And then you'll be sitting with a big smile on your face going, he warned me to not be too complacent. And now he's gone out the door. So I'm also treading carefully, as they say. So thanks to everyone in the live chat. We'll love you all the bits. And I suppose I can't say this because it looks like it's going to be happening next week, but there's a lot of people also were saying about they would like to hear more from certain people or more content. So I believe from next week, there's a high possibility that you people will be getting a Natalie and Rick double bill. Yes, a double bill. Mondays,
you lucky people,
Friday. You lucky people. You'll be getting that from Monday through Friday next week. Stay tuned for that and more developments as we know about them and can confirm them here on TNT. How's that for a comeback from an ad totally off the cuff? Yeah. But we're just trying to keep it real, aren't we?
And that's like what we were talking about with Charlie and what we were talking about yesterday. Me and Rick were on with Ben and John on Chasing Descent. And I think that's what people want. They want normal people, down-to-earth people. We haven't had some type of privileged background. We're in exactly the same situation as you. We're just giving our opinions rather than some kind of scripted version of the news. So that's what we're trying to do here. You can like us, you can hate us, you can agree with us, you can disagree with us. And that's the way it is, really. But I think we should move to a story as well.
Let's have our ego stroke just a teensy weensy bit, because in my life, let me not joke. I am a target for a lot of nasty people and a lot of horrible things. Believe it or not, people say nasty things about me. It's true. As Donald Trump would say, it's true. It's true. It's all true. It's all true. Okay, so sometimes people leave nice comments in the live chat. So I have to give an honorable mention out here this morning. Let's see. Yes, just a bloke who asked questions said, the thing's gone. I agree. Almost never miss Rick and Natalie, a TNT highlight of the week for me. Thank you so very much. And also, Chrisilla says, you both make a great duo. Thank you very much as well. And of course, Mazzy said, she put a little gif in there with a little smiley face. She also enjoys the content. So thank you. We do appreciate it. Believe it or not, we really do. Those little messages. They are encouraging and we don't take it for granted. We don't take it for granted. So sorry for cutting you off a little bit there, but I thought we'd give it a little bit of love out for our our three fans. We've got three of them. So we don't want to alienate them. We've got three fans. So thank you very much, lovely people.
Yeah. We really do appreciate it. But I thought you'd laugh at this morning. Rick sent over a story and I did come back to him. And this is honest. I genuinely thought it was a parody. I thought, Rick, like, I know you've sent this over, but this clearly is like somebody's done it as a joke. It's satirical. It's like a meme. They're taking the mickey. But they're not. He sent it through. This is genuine from the Alliance Party in Northern Ireland. Do you want to explain it, Rick? Is this bad?
Right. They have this strategy, Natalie. The Alliance Party in Northern Ireland have a strategy where they take the social media, they put a little yellow poster up with their face on it, and they explain to their constituents what they have been doing to earn their money over the past week or the past month. Now, there was somebody who lives near me. One of the councillors down here put a post up and he got lambasted because it was, I went and met someone for lunch. I made a phone call in the afternoon and this was legitimate. This is what he was saying, justified his wages. So this is a councillor in Belfast, Councillor Tara Brooks. And this is an example. This is just for you people out there, an example of what a Northern Ireland councillor does to earn a crust during the course of the week. So point number one, there's several points, you know, she doesn't just do one thing. She does several things.
I'd just like to point out, active. This is a really, really busy lady. I don't she's think I can do woman. This job. It sounds really, really difficult. You got better go through these points, right? Come on.
Yeah, and I don't even know where she got the time. I don't know when she got the time to even post this on social media because she's so busy. But the first thing she did last week was she visited a street to see two new benches and a bin at the Strangford Avenue playing fields that she requested, acting on a suggestion from a constituent. So she went down the street to look at two seats and a bin. That was the first thing she did. The second thing she did was she noted that there was an electricity substation that had been painted to remove graffiti after she reported it. So she was has an eagle eye in her head, has our councillor Tara. She noted that the graffiti had been painted over. That was duly noted down. Then, very importantly, she attended the 54th Alliance Party conference and dinner where she engaged with a waste management company and signed a Woodland Trust pledge to plant more trees. I was stunned by that. I mean, the amount of effort and time and planning that must have went into signing the Woodland Trust pledge blows me away. And lastly, this is the most important thing. She added new pictures to a database of tiled street signs that she's compiling to record their location and condition. She's walking around the streets taking photos of certain street signs to compile a database. Natalie, who will use that database? And if we can get the names, should they be sanctioned under the Mental Health Act?
No, but even listening to it, this was put up not as a parody. Honestly, if you listen to these, how could you put this out and actually be proud of your day's work? That's why I had to come back to you. I said, come on, Rick. You know, there's no way this could be put out as a councillor being proud. This is embarrassing. This is so little work. She's gone to a playing field in a bin. She's made a note. She started putting some pictures on a database. This must have taken half an hour, less than half an hour in a whole day.
And those are her highlights. So if you can imagine those are her highlights, what must the lowlights or the low points have been of her weekly job as councillor? And here's the thing, that post that I sent you that you were rightly skeptical of, that this can't possibly be true, she actually followed it up after the flack she took about this. She followed it up with another post with photographs of the bin. And she said, look, I really was there. And some of the responses, I've screenshot at this, some of the responses under that post. Number one was, the readers of Bin and Bench magazine will be looking for an interview pretty soon. Somebody else said, I'm embarrassed for you. Should you have quit while you were ahead before posting this original report? Do you realize you have achieved the award for most irrelevant claim of achievement? Someone else said, stop digging and read the room, FFS. And lastly, Councillor Russell Bott said, could you think of starting a database of litter bins? Think of the excitement that would generate among your constituents. So that's Northern Ireland. That's Northern Ireland politics, councillors, MEPs, whatever you want to call them. It's completely farcical. That's what we're working with here, Natalie.
On a serious note, I mean, we have been laughing. It's disgraceful that they're getting paid that ridiculous amount of money to do such little work when everything, as we've said, all services are underfunded everywhere. So on a serious note, this isn't actually funny. And somebody should use that post as an investigation, I would say. If I was living in her constituency, I would literally start to say, well, I'm sorry, but I need answers, because that is absolutely when all the problem with crime and everything else in the area, that is, you should be doing far more than that. Mm-hmm. We've only got a couple of minutes before we go. So a very quick story before then. Bicester, plans for UK's first flying taxi test centre revealed. So we started with electric vehicles, we'll end with electric vehicles. Skyports infrastructure will develop what is going to be the UK's first Veriport, and it's going to be a passenger terminal for electric aviation and battery powered taxis, right? If the Jaguar, right, I would say, can't stop, do you fancy trying out one of these tests on getting one of these electric vehicle battery powered? I read this, I thought this isn't for me. I don't think I'm going to go for it. Even if there's a big taxi queue and then taxi rank, I'm just not going to get on one of these electric
taxis in the sky. Electric helicopter. It's like an electric helicopter. I watched an interview last night with the musician, if you want to call him that, Kid Rock, and he was talking about helicopters, and he said, I will not get onto a helicopter with a single engine on it because of the amount of them that have went down and killed many, many a famous person. So he said, unless it's a dual controller, it has a twin engine, or it's a propeller plane, a prop plane, he said, don't get on it because the chances of disaster. I think as well, if the cars are anything to go by, you know, it's bad enough not being able to stop. But what if the propellers stop midair and you can't override that, or they go into hyperdrive and they start nosediving you? The cops ain't going to save you in that case, Natalie. So I'd rather walk, seriously, or I'd rather walk as far as I need to go, or not use transport at all than use something like an electric helicopter. No,
maybe this is how they're going to stop people flying. It says in December, the National Air Traffic Service carried out UK's first major electric vehicle air traffic control simulations, which it said demonstrated how air taxis could be used and safely integrated soon with conventional air traffic. So the plan is, moving forward, we'll have EV aeroplanes as well somehow.
Well, can you imagine what we'll be talking about this time next year if they actually bring these drone first responders out, these electric flying taxis? The mind absolutely boggles. Listen, we're up to time here. The music's playing. Thankfully, your voice did hold up. Rest up for just the rest of the day, so you can come back again tomorrow. But it would be remiss of me not to allow you to do your signature exit piece now from Open Line. So back over to you, Natalie Chiel.
That was Rick Munn. I have been Natalie Chiel. This has been Open Line. Have a great day, and bye-bye.